Okay. All right, this month, if you weren't here last Sunday, I put a nice little bulletin out there that we're going to focus on. This is February. This is Love Month. Marriage, I call it Marriage Enrichment Month. Last year I did my first one, and it was just focusing on the love of God, on relationships. You know, the theme the Lord gave me for this year is expecting great change in 2016. Change in your pocket, your finances. We talked about that a little. I'm not done with finances this year. But change in your life. Change in your relationship. And we're going to focus on God. We're going to focus on love this month. And expect great change to happen. To manifest. Manifest is to be made known. I can see it. I can taste it. I got it. Manifest. I got it. That your eyes can actually see it. I want to go to Song of Solomon. If you need to turn with me, we got Bibles in front. If you didn't bring a Bible, we got a Bible right in front of you, or we'll have it on the screen too. We want the Word in your eyes and in your ears, because it's what's going to change your life. And I want to read Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is painting a picture of the Lord's love for His church. Comparing it to, contrasting to a husband's love for his wife. Because as far as the marriage relationship, that's how it's designed. How Christ treated the church, His church, that's how the husband is supposed to treat his wife. And there's room for improvement. Amen. You're not going to be doing it right. She's not going to be doing it right, but Jesus done it right. He's our example. Love, His love never fails. Amen. Verses 2, 1 through 4. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among my daughters, or the daughters. Like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Was love, is love. I am the rose of Sharon. Sharon was a very fruitful place where David's cattle were fed. It is mentioned as a place of excellence. And as a place of flocks. Perhaps it would be better with almost all the versions to translate it like this: I am the rose of the field. This is Jesus towards you. The bridegroom had just before called her fair. She, with a becoming modesty, represents her beauty as nothing extraordinary and compares herself to a common flower of the field. God sees you better than you see yourself. Amen? And He wants you to know that. You're a special rose, not just a flower. You're the lily of the field. You're not that thorn. You set out among the thorns. You're a peculiar people created by Almighty God with a purpose, amen, with a capacity to love if Christ is on the inside of you, as Christ loved His church. Amen? This is the warmth of his affection. He denies, insisting that she as much surpasses all other maidens as the flower of the lily does the bramble. Verse 3, as the apple tree, the bride returns the compliment and says, as the apple or citron tree is among the trees of the wood, so is the bridegroom among other men. The wife is complimenting her husband. You sow bountifully, compliments. You'll reap bountiful compliments, right? Tell her how she wants you to tell her she looks in the morning, right? Not how she looks, right? Come on, guys. I'm trying to help you out here. We're talking about love this month. Tell her how good she looks. before she puts all the, what do you call that stuff? Well, we got a free book right here you can put on. It's God's mirror. Don't look at what your face looks like. Look at what God says your face looks like. His banner over you is love. I sat down under his shadow. Psalms 91. Here we are, sitting underneath the shadow of the Almighty. I sat down under his shadow. I am become his spouse. And when we put our wedding vows out there, there's something we do. We say, I do, right? We say something to that spouse. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? You've got to make a response. I do. Husband, likewise. I am become his spouse, and my union with him makes me indescribably happy. And see, this is what the love, you're not going to feel that in your flesh. But if we can get a revelation of how much God's love for us is abounding, this is how our flesh will react. Amen. Verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house. Think about this. This is your banqueting house today. We're having a banquet here today. Because we're serving the Word of God. We're serving the promises of God that are without fail. They will work if we'll let them. Amen? Literally, the house of wine was what it was called. The ancients preserved their wine not in barrels or dark cellars under the ground as we do, but in large pitchers ranged against the wall in some upper apartment in the house, the place where they kept their most precious effects. You're precious. His banner over you is love. What we just consecrated in that covenant meal is the love that Christ so loved us with by shedding his blood. We came in covenant. We said, Jesus, I received that. I received that love. I received what you did for me. And now I give back to you all that you gave me. Like Kelsey said, we can't give somebody something we don't have. If we don't have an understanding of God's unconditional love working in us, we cannot go and love others without that, the way Christ loved the church. But when we get an understanding and revelation of that, we can. And we will. Because he said we could. Amen? So don't say you can't. I can do all things through Christ, through that anointing that gives me that ability, that grace. Somebody guess what the title is? His banner over me, take it personal, is love. And that's not, I love you because you did this for me. It's, I love you regardless what you ever do for me. That's God's love. That's agape. Unconditional. Unconditional love. We are expecting great change in our relationships this year. I am, and I want you to. And God wants us all expecting great change in our relationships this year and years to come. This is not going to happen automatically. Can I get a weak amen? His banner over me is love, but it ain't just falling on me. I have to reach up and I have to receive by faith his love and appropriate it. Bring it down to where my mind, you're going to understand this. This is the way you're going to be because this is who you are. I'm not looking at my flesh. I'm looking inside my heart. Once I'm born again, I'm changed. I'm a new creature, new species. But we have to make that quality decision if we're going to experience this great change. Or these great changes. It ain't going to be just one change. We're going to have every day all kind of changes set before us. And it's not hard. It's not going to be a struggle if we know him. If we know the plan. I think about it when my brother liked to do this more than I. I'm the baby of five, but he used to make those model cars. Plastic, you know, this is the old Richard Petty's, and you know, you take the glue. Those pieces were so tiny. Now, see, I've wore glasses since third grade. He had good vision, so you know, he'd take those little parts and put it right there, you know, and like, man, he was real particular with that. You know, it took time to put all those pieces. What his little brothers like to do? Just get in there. Whom, 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 whom. Man, why don't the wheels turn on this sucker? And then brother come home and it wasn't brotherly love. It wasn't God's kind of love. We didn't have God's kind of love working in the house, but still, I messed his model car up. I thought, you know, I'm like, man, get a car that the wheels turn at least. I don't understand this. So there's going to be changes that we're going to experience. And it has to start with us having a working understanding of how much the Father loves us. Number two, as I was preparing and meditating upon this message, Jesus reminded me of my honeymoon. Married couples in here, remember your honeymoon? Some of us, that was many moons ago. Some of us, not so many moons. Mark and Michelle's not here. I think they're looking at maybe 2 years, so they're still what we'd call newlyweds. You know, that first quality time, this is what a honeymoon is, it's that first quality time that you and your spouse dedicated to each other after your wedding. I mean, you made plans for that thing, saved for it. A question to you. Why does that honeymoon have to end? Why is it like we just think in our mind, well, after we get back, the honeymoon's over. Why does it have to end? What was we just reading? God's banner over us is love. Why not just live every week like it was our first in that marriage, in the relationship? If you're single, go back to when you first received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How excited we were. And just like a baby with a new toy, trying to enjoy all this, you know, all the aspects of this new toy. Man, I didn't know it did that. Man, you push that button and it squeaks at you. Find a squeaker on that thing. These dogs do this all the time. They get these toys, squeak, 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 until they tear it up and it quits squeaking. They don't understand that. Dogs are different than we are. We got spirits. We are created in the image of God. If you wasn't here, Kelsey talked about dyslexia, or people that see words backwards. You know, if you have dyslexia, when I say God, they're thinking dog. Unless they have a picture that they relate that word to. So, I got some great news for you. Ready for some great news? Great news? We can, if we'll go back. That honeymoon, like our wedding, is a honeymoon every week. You're familiar with this in the book of Revelation. Return to your first love. To your first love. Revelations 2:4. But see, that's a choice that we have to make. The Good News Bible says it this way, Revelations 2:4. But this is what Jesus is speaking to his church. This is what I have against you. You do not love me now as you did at first. And they were doing all these things for Christ, and he told them that was great. All these things he appreciated. But he said, one thing you lack. You don't love me like you used to. God, in the Old Testament, all those sacrifices that come to a time where God said, I don't need all these sacrifices. I need your heart. I need your love. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. They were, you know, doing all these sacrifices, think that they were pleasing God. It's not what we do that pleases God. It's knowing him that pleases God. Knowing how much he loves us. Getting an understanding, and if we know him, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Bring that down to your kids. I've got kids, and I was a kid at one time. How many times my parents asked me to do something, and I did the exact opposite? See, because my mind didn't understand the love of God, it was trained to the law. The law always says, do this. I don't want to do that. See, that's what sin does. It makes the law come alive. You'll rebel against truth. Where all the time our parents were trying to show us love. I love you. Do this because I love you. I don't want you to get in trouble. I don't want you to get hurt. But we see, we didn't understand that because we were young. Paul said that when I was a man, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I grew up and became a man, I put away those childish ways. And see, that's what, when we stay repetitive at the Word of God, at the love of God, and we'll let it change us, not only change us, but it'll transform our mind to the way it was supposed to be created in the beginning, before sin, corruption, before all that, that Adam and Eve, I said Adam and Eve, partook of that forbidden fruit. They did exact opposite of what God told them to do. Because somebody planted a disease called dyslexia. The devil. Has God said? Well, let me think. Did he say that? Got man thinking in reverse. Eve took it first, right? But the Bible says her husband was right there. She took and gave to him. See, we're not going to pass the blame. We got to, in these relationships, we got to be willing to sometimes just, even though it's not my fault, be willing to submit. Somebody's got to come to sometime and just got to submit so that we can go on. And so God's word, love can work in our lives. Amen? Doesn't mean he's right or she's right. They might be totally wrong, but let God show it to them. Because sometimes what you do is just making matters worse. This is what love can do. Go back to that first love. How can we walk in the love that Jesus did and get the same results? Who wants to get the results that Jesus did? Have barely enough food to feed your own 12, but then sit down and feed 3,000 to 5,000 men and women because he took what he had and gave it back to God. That's what you just did with your offering. That's what you just did with your offering. If you always get to the end of the month and you're out of money, it's not that you're, what you're doing up here is off your love. Go back to your first love. You're not doing it with a cheerful heart. You're not loving God. We don't have an understanding of his love. Because if we so love him like he loved us, I could lock that door and you slide the money under the door to get your offering in. I've got to get it in here. I love my Father this week. You don't know, Pastor Lewis, what he did for me this week. I got to get to the church and let him know that I love him. This is an act of my love. But the door's locked. That's okay, Pastor. Don't come. I'm going to slide underneath the door for you. And see, that's what love, it motivates you to do something for God. And that's what he wants. He wants your heart. I've heard Pastor Jim tell me plenty of times, if God gets your heart, he's got your bunny. He's got your billfold. You won't have to preach on, get up here and give your money. God needs your money. No, he don't. He needs you. He wants you. That's his whole purpose, is chasing you down. He's trying to chase you and overtake you. If you'll just turn around, let him get you, let him hug you, and he'll give you. He wants to give you everything he has. In his hands are both riches and honor. Honor and riches in God's hands. That's all he's got. He doesn't have a whip. See, this is what the world, this is what the devil wants, has tried to portray, that God's a taskmaster. That's what the law was. And it was there because of sin. So we have to first define what God's kind of love is. Truly what God's kind of love is. Let's go to John, 1 John. That's in your New Testament. This is the John the Beloved. He wrote this book and called himself the Beloved. You can't call yourself something if you don't have an understanding that I'm beloved of God. He knew that Jesus loved him. And theologian could tell him any otherwise. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. You ever went to the 7-Eleven, go through there pretty fast? We don't need to go through these verses that fast. That's what I grew up on, 7-Elevens. Put you about $5 in the gas tank and get you a good old Slurpee. Good old Slurpee and off to school. Got to get there before that break bell, before the first bell rings. You said $5 is all you put? Yeah, that filled my tank up back in my day. $5 would get me all the way, get me all week if I didn't go visit my girlfriend so much. My now wife, so that was a good investment, wasn't it? Good investment. 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Beloved, say beloved. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and does not and knows God. He who does not love God, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, It was seen. Jesus came down, he was seen, he was received, and then he was born. And we've seen the love of God in the earth. What he did, he healed people, he fed people. He didn't tell them he loved them, he showed them, he did something. That God, it was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, not without him, through him. That's the key to anything we do in this world, is through him, through his sacrifice, through his love. In this is love. In other words, in him. Not in what you do, in what I know of him, and I just operate through that. In this is love. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitute for our sins. How can we walk in this love like Jesus did and had results? Get an understanding of how much God loves us. The answer is by first knowing that God first loved us. First, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this is where you got to understand, your sins are forgiven when you walk out that door, before you even commit it. Your future sins. Well, you say, how can God forgive us a sin in the future? This was over 2,000 years ago. Christ died. We were not even born yet. But your sins were forgiven. Already been atoned for. Forever. Because he only died once. He's only going to die once. The blood was shed once for your sin. And don't think about all these sins you commit that's going to separate you from the love of God. Paul said, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall trial, shall persecution? Might as well say, shall sin? No, it won't. Because that sin that was separating me from God was the rejection of Jesus. But once you get born again, what did you do to earn your salvation? Nothing. Then what is he requiring of you to keep it? Nothing you do, but you have to, by faith, walk it out every day. You don't lose it. You can walk away from that. No man can take it from it, but you can turn and walk away from Christ, but that's a bad situation. I don't think anybody in this room would even think about it. But what he wants you to know, there's no sins that you're going to commit that's going to keep God from loving you. He's always for you. No matter how bad you mess it up, it does not change his love towards you. Now, it'll change what people think of you. Oh, you hypocrite. But you're not here to please God. Not the people. You're here to please God. Right? You're here to please God. She's been pleasing God for over 100 years. 100 years old. Every time she walks in this building, that is pleasing God. Yes. But if she stayed home, she's still pleasing God. Because God is love. Amen. And it's not based on what we do. It's based on what he did. This is the key to fulfilling indescribably happy life that we're supposed to be living. It's called the Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life. That Christ died for, paid for, sealed in his blood. He got a stamp of approval on you. Amen. His banner over you is love. That's your stamp of approval. Period. Don't add anything to that. He loves you, period. Independent of your performance. And so you've got to really know the word to not let that hinder you in this world, because everything we do is based on performance. At our jobs. How we get a raise. I get surveys, random surveys on how was the technician. Did he have his gloves on? Did he have his safety gloves on? Did he tell you about the appliance? Did he explain what was happening? If I'm the people taking the survey, I'm like, good Lord. He got my appliance fixed and it's working. Is that good enough? Give him a 10. See, performance, performance, performance. The world drives performance. Come on, Matt. Come on. But God's love doesn't drive that. It gives. What can I do for you? How can I make your life better? Instead of about how can you be better for me? That's Jesus. That's the love of God. That's the love of the Father. David, we think about sin, committed adultery, was the king of Israel. We talked about the Rose of Sharon, talking about David's, the field there. God's exalting David, but he committed adultery. Then he murdered the husband to cover up his sin. Did God run away from him? No, he went to him. He sent a prophet to him. David was denying it. He was thinking God didn't see it. Wrong thought. David wasn't thinking. He was definitely not thinking. David was operating in this kind of worldly love, what he saw at the moment. And we're all capable of that at any time. But he doesn't have what we have. He didn't have that new covenant, the Holy Spirit on the inside. He only had it on the outside, and he didn't let it get in that day. He didn't let that guy. He wasn't where he's supposed to be that day. He's supposed to have been out on the battlefield, but he stayed home. There was the first thing. He wasn't doing what God called him to do. And that's where we get into trouble. Well, I don't think I need to go to church today. There's plenty of people there. It'll be enough. You're setting you up for trouble. Now, I'm not saying not from God, but I'm getting into the areas there that God, his grace can't abound toward me there, because he can't lie. He can't bless when you're trying to do the curse, the opposite of what he said to do. And he loves you. He loves you regardless. But he's just and he's faithful. So, question, do we obtain favor from God by keeping these commandments? No. Answer, no. Good answer. I say no, 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 and again I say no. Read Romans, the book of Romans. It talks about the difference between law and grace. We're under grace. We're not underneath the law anymore. We're under grace. And the banner over me is love. You're going to hear that when you leave this place. Because somebody's going to want to tell you how not lovely you are. And you're just going to say on the inside, God's banner over me is love. That song of theirs will be coming out. You'll start singing those songs. God's banner over me is love. Next thing you know, what can I do for you? See, you'll forget. Love never notices when somebody does you wrong. Never takes account. That's what 1 Corinthians, did y'all read your chapters this week? Supposed to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at least twice this week. Take your prescriptions now. Pastor's giving you a prescription. It has no side effects. Amen? No bad side effects. It's all about love. Answer's no. We can't please God by keeping the commandments. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Have you ever seen a branch of an apple tree get cut off, produce fruit? If you have, tell me about it, because it's be impossible. You have one, maybe stick it down in a potato or something, like a rose. You maybe stick it down in a potato, and it might live a little bit longer. But you take a limb, a branch, you cut off that apple tree, it's going to die. And that's what Jesus is saying. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Love others as I've loved, unless you abide in me. Knowing this truth, it will take the struggle out of your Christian walk. It'll take the struggle out. Yeah, I messed up. Lord, help me. Repent, that's what it is. Lord, I messed up there. Help me. You're right back. He's right there to help you. He's going to get you. If you lack wisdom, ask. Right? And he'll show you where you messed up and help you walk it on out. It'll take the struggle out of your Christian walk and in your relationship with God and with others. Your first key is got to build that relationship and know him, because his banner over you is love. His love is the bond or the mortar. Ever laid brick? I took bricklaying in high school. Very poor bricklayer right here. Very poor. And I was only using sand and lime. They didn't even give us the real stuff, so because you had to tear it down. Thank God they didn't give me the real stuff. But God's love is the bond or the mortar that holds our relationships together. If your mortar is not mixed properly, too wet, too dry, your walls will not be secure against the storms of this world when the storms come. What makes a solid, everlasting relationship possible? Question. The love. the mortar, the bond of God. That's your mortar. That's to your relationship. Genesis 2, 21 through 24. We're going to read this quickly. We're going to go back to the beginning. A lot of times we've got to go back to the beginning to see how all this came together. Genesis chapter 2. Can you give me a little bit more time? I'm on the last page here. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Anybody need to sleep good at night? Ask the Lord to give you deep sleep. He's done took the rib out. He ain't taking no more ribs out. Lord, I want to sleep good tonight. Give me a deep sleep. God can cause a deep sleep to come upon you. Caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. Men, don't go looking for the woman. God will bring the woman to you. Now, once he brings her to you, now you treat her nice. Do all she wants you to do, and then some. And you'll win her love. But the main thing is, just love her. Okay? Treat her like you'd want to be treated yourself, because as a husband, she's my body. The way I should treat her, the way I treat my own body. That's the marriage covenant. And Adam says, this is now bone of my bones. Looks a lot like me, but a lot not like me. She's different. He's different. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She's going to be called woman. Adam got to name something. And God was pleased with what he named her. Woman. Because she was taken out of man. Now, that word cleave in verse 24. I didn't even read it, did I? Let me read it. That was the main point. Therefore, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He named the woman. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And that word join means cleave. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. We're not ashamed. That word cleave in verse 24 means to cling on. That ain't Star Trek. It's not a Klingon. It means to cling on to. Did that fly over somebody's head? Anybody watch Star Trek? Okay, cling on. It means to cling on to, cleave to, adhere to, stick together like glue, super glue. What God, love, has joined together, let not man put asunder. Man will try. Man will be deceived to try. But God says, let not man put asunder. When something has been glued together and you try to separate them, tell me, guys, tell me, ladies, what's going to happen? Something's going to get hurt. Something's going to get torn. Something's going to be in pain. It just ain't, you can't, when you separate it, something's going to get hurt. But God is love. Even if it's happened, his banner over you is love. He can fix it. But I want to take you back to the whole purpose was that we never be taken away. Let man never take that away. But that's a choice we have to make. God's not going to even make that choice for us. But he laid a plan out for us. How can we have great change in our relationships? Stick together like glue. Amen. Weather the storms of life. And let God's love be the mortar that holds you through. He didn't say the storms would come, but he said you would stand. Amen? If you stand with him, your house, your foundation will stand if it's founded on God's unconditional love. And it'll be better through the storm than a man that built his house on the sand, thinking he knew how to do it. His banner over me is love. If you are struggling in your relationship with the Father, with your spouse, or anybody else, it is because we are trying to do things for that person to earn their love. Stop it. Stop it. Just love them. Just love them. Not what you do, just love them. Just love them. When all the while we need to get a revelation on how much God loves us, first, really the key, before you even try to do that, get a revelation and continue, just fall in love with Jesus. Say yes to him in everything. This is a supernatural love, not based on what we did for God, but what Jesus what God through Christ did for us. Paul said it this way, I'm crucified with Christ, but it's not me that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Love always gives. It'll always give. Knowing this great love of the Father will cause a chain reaction. Chain reaction that will cause us to let this love of God flow from me to that other person. And you'll see miracles. You'll see great things that God will do while you were sleeping. While you were sleeping, he'll work things out for you. He's promised you. His banner over you is love. And he's going to even wave it for you. Wave that banner. My last point. Some preachers go on and say, I thought that was my last point. This is my last point on the paper. Last point. Men, you get a... Some women probably get a hold of this too. I'll quit harping on the women, but a good man ought to do this, unless a woman really likes to do this with her car. As motor oil is to a car, y'all know where I'm going, so is the love of God to our relationships. We talked about mortar, now we're talking about oil. Can you substitute water for oil in a car? You could, though, couldn't you? You can still do it even though you're not to. It ain't going to go far, is it? Ain't going to sound too good. Likewise, can we substitute our natural love, our filial love, for God's agape love and expect the same results? Or expect our relationships to run smoothly? No. The answer, if you answer no, you got the right answer. But you still haven't passed the test, because you have to take this test every day. And you can't, I say you can pass it. You can take the test every day and pass it. Because this banner over you is love. You even know the answer. So why, you're not going to fail the test, right? From how you're going to leave here and you're going to pass. Because love never fails. And his banner over you is not a failure. You're not a failure going somewhere to happen. You're a blessing. Going somewhere to happen. Amen? This story continues next Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Receive this prayer. And then I'm going to ask for anybody that needs a particular prayer. Father, I just thank you for the love that you loved us with. That love is manifesting itself in this church, in your people, right now. So we're drawing upon that love, upon this relationship. And it's not by might, it's not by strength, but it's by your Spirit that we draw upon this relationship. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for manifesting yourself among your people, for encouraging them and showing them areas in their life where we can get better. Where we can get better. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your body is strong. Your church body, your people, they are strong in your grace and in your love. And we thank you, Father, for you promised in your word that when we preach the word and teach the word, that you would confirm your word with signs and wonders following. And I thank you, Father God, for these signs following Elisha right now, Lord, that she's asked for her hearing to be better. And she's asked for strength in her body and for her hands, Father God, for her not to have pain. And we continue to stand in faith with her and believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible for her. But not only for her, to all those you have put in the hearing of the word today, Father. There's areas in their life they've been asking for help. There's areas in my life I'm asking for help. And Father, we just thank you that wisdom, your supernatural wisdom, is coming to us, and we're going to know that we know, and we're going to find it in your word, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring back to our remembrance everything that we have heard concerning relationships, your relationship in our life, because your banner over us is love. Your plans for us is good, a bright future. That we're going to have to get out here and buy some sunglasses, Lord, because your banner over us is love.